And our job is to do what? Is to have rest in our soul. Amen. You know, this is a powerful teaching that we've been going through. And tonight I want to conclude this teaching. But I want us to begin to look at, you know, we've seen how important peace is, how important rest is. But did you know that rest is not something that came as, you know, it's almost like, you know, not something that God just brought about after. It was something that was in God. God is a God of rest. In fact, part of God's characteristic, part of his character is rest. So if a person says they know God and they are not at peace, they don't truly know God. You see, because rest is not an afterthought that God says, okay, I think they need rest. Without rest, God is not God. You see, if God is not at rest, then it can't be God. Everything else, you see, the Bible talks about the devil. It says he does what? He runs to and fro. It is part of the characteristics of Satan to not be at rest. He can't have rest. So when you begin to look at the characteristics of God, you say God is holy. You see, God is holy. The devil is not holy. He is unholy. So there are things you can attribute to God that clearly distinguishes between God and the devil. Clearly. There's no mistake about it. You see, God is good. Because that's his character. He is good. The devil is evil. That's why his name is Devil, the evil. Amen. So when you want to know who God truly is, you can begin to look at his characteristic. God rests. God is always in a position of rest, an attitude of rest. The devil is always in an attitude, a posture of unrest. So to be godly is to rest. You see, the Bible says the way of the transgressor is what? Is hard. So what we're doing through this teaching is so that you can begin to understand who God is and understand your position in God. You see, the rest is not just something that you try to conjure up. You try to make it up and say, look, I've got to rest. It's not about you taking time out. That's why Jesus says, I will give you what? Rest for your soul. Because that's the only place that you can have true rest in your soul. Now, when he was leaving, he said, I'm going to give you peace that the world cannot give. Why can't they give you? Because they don't have it. So rest is part of the character of God. And to be disturbed in the mind, to be afraid, you know, Jesus said you will not be afraid. He said, do not let your heart be afraid, neither let it be troubled. That is what rest is. You see, we can't fully describe rest. We're just using our normal language to try and describe it and say, you know, you're not troubled, you're not perturbed. But rest is actually God. He is rest. That's why Jesus says, I will give you what? Rest. So we want to begin to explore that tonight. Look at Exodus chapter 20. Exodus 20. You know, this is God actually proclaimed rest as part of what? The Ten Commandments. Telling the children of Israel. See, the Ten Commandments, who can tell me what the Ten Commandments are? Just say anyone, you don't have to say it in order. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. Lord, do not, yes. You see, yes? Do not covet your neighbor's. Yeah. So, thou shalt not serve any other god besides me. Okay. If you look at the trend of all those, God saying the things that you cannot do and the things that you shall do, thou shalt not lie and all of that. But look at this one is different. He says, remember the Sabbath day. The other ones, he didn't ask them to remember anything. He just said, don't do it or do it. When it comes to the Sabbath day, he says, remember. If I ask you to remember something, it means the thing has already been. It's been in existence. I can't ask you to remember something if in the future. No. It has to be something that you were already aware of. The Sabbath day. And so God says it here to the children of Israel. You see, when God brought the law, it was when it was forming the nation of Israel, and they had to have statutes and laws. But this is so vital to God. So he says, this has been before the law came. I just want you to remember it. He says, remember the Sabbath day to do what? To keep it holy. You know, many times people say to keep it, and they forget the word holy. They say, remember the Sabbath day to keep it. You see, it makes two different things. It says to keep it holy. That is a day that has been hallowed. Rest is a day that has been, that you have to keep that day and keep it in your memory and never forget it, because it is holy unto God. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. So when God said to remember, what was he referring to? You know the word Sabbath, what does it mean? Rest. Rest. This is how important rest is. Say, remember the rest day. The day of rest. Remember it and keep it holy. That never lose it. Never lose the day of rest. Because everything else will revolve around it. You've got to keep it holy. You've got to keep it special. You've got to keep it distinct from every other thing. Every other day. Hallelujah. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Now let's read on the next verse. And it says, 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. For the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you nor your son. Some people are already scared and thinking, you shall do no work. So we want to begin to look. Don't forget that this is all about rest. The whole essence of the Sabbath day is to let the people know that you must rest. And why will he say that? So he says, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days, so now he begins to tell us why he's referring to remember. He's now reminding them. This is what you remember. Because this Sabbath, the Sabbath day, did not begin with the law. The Sabbath day, this is it. In 6 days, the Lord did what? He made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them. And he did what? He rested. Just mark the word rest. He rested the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. That it is something that has to be kept. It is something that has to be distinct. It has to be observed. It has to be special among all things. Rest has to be special. You must never lose rest. This is what God is saying to them. You must never, ever lose your rest. In fact, it says, because God himself rested. You know, sometimes we look at rest as something that you do after you're tired. But this is not what rest is. Rest is about something that is holy, something that has to be observed, something that has to be part of your cycle of life. It has to be part of the cycle of your life, just like you will eat. You know, eating is part of the cycle of life, isn't it? Rest has to be part of it. And the reason God sanctified a day, you see, the reason he sanctified the day is to bring to our remembrance. It says remember. How are you going to remember? When you observe a day, then you will remember Sabbath. You remember rest. But you see, observing the day doesn't necessarily give you an understanding of rest. What it does is to remember, oh, rest. Because God is not saying you shouldn't have rest on the first day, second day, third day. But he's using that day. If there was no day, Sabbath will be forgotten. Are you catching it? Rest will be forgotten if there was no day. So God is not saying that 6 days you shall not have rest. No, did he say that? No, he's saying by observing once a week, you will always remember rest. And what you need to remember is what I will show you now. Go to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis 1, verse 31. You see, God worked. You see, because it tells us in that scripture, 6 days God did what? He worked. And I want you to remember, while God was working, he was at rest. Amen? Because rest is part of God's character. It is for our sake that God made a day holy. He made it holy for our sakes, so that we will never forget how important rest is. So then God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was what? Very good. So the evening and the morning were what? The sixth day. Just a little bit of information. You see, God made the heavens and the earth in 6 days. You know, as Christians, we follow God's word. Not what scientists say, not what anybody. See, someone might say, oh, some people try to say, okay, maybe one day equals a million, you know, because maybe it could have been 1 day, 1 million, 2 days, two. No, no, no. Because it says the evening and the morning. That can't be a million years. After he made it, every time he made something, he said the evening and the morning. So you know it's a 24-hour circle. It's not a million-year circle. That's why every time he made something, and the evening and the morning were the first day. You know, let God be true, and every man a liar. That's what the Bible is about. You can't be more intelligent. No human person can know more than God. Amen. So it says the evening and the morning were what? The sixth day. So let's go to the next verse. That's Genesis 2 verse 1. And then begin to look at it. Thus the heavens and the earth and all the host of them were what? Everybody say finished. Say finished. You begin to get the concept of rest. They were finished. Verse 2. And on the seventh day, we read in Genesis 1:31 that God did everything in the evening. It was the sixth day and everything was very good. Very good. Well, you see, the word very good there is good, but it doesn't fully describe what that scripture is saying. That is, it was perfect. That is, you can't add to it. You cannot take out of it. It's perfect. Very good. So there's no way anyone could come in and say, well, this thing that God did, I think he missed something out. No, it's perfect. Because God had made everything and it was perfect, it means it was finished. See, when an artist is painting, and sometimes you have artists when they're doing a portrait and things like that, they cover it. They keep covering it until they what? They finish. You know why? They don't want anybody to look at it. To them, oof, they don't want you to look at an unfinished work. And the artist doesn't rest. When I say doesn't rest, doesn't mean he doesn't go to bed. He goes home, he sleeps, he eats. But because it's not finished, when he goes home, it's still on his mind. Still on his mind. Then when it is finished, he rests. What does that rest mean? you can't go and touch that painting with any more ink or anything. You can't. You can't add to it. And you must not take out of it. Look at it. And he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had done. Verse 3. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his work which he had created and made. So the reason for rest is because it's finished. All done. It's perfect. That is, there is nothing more to add to it. So when God sanctifies the day, see, God says to you that no weapon formed against you shall prosper. You see, that statement, that word, God has finished it. You don't have to start saying, oh, what weapons are coming against me? No, no, no. You are trying to tell God that you haven't finished. You're saying, no, I still got to add something to it. Or maybe God missed out something, so I've got to analyze it and look at it. And that's what people do with God's word. You analyze and analyze and analyze, but it's finished. When you analyze, you don't have rest. You can't rest if you're still trying to work out what God has already finished. So he tells the children of Israel, so the children of Israel were to observe a day to recognize, as they are going in and going out, going into the promised land, that it is not their effort that will make things happen in their lives. God already, when he says, I'm taking you to a land flowing with milk and honey, it's finished. But how come they did not get to that promised land? Because they thought they didn't get it. They didn't realize every time they're observing the Sabbath, the purpose of the Sabbath is not just to come and observe the day, is to be a remembrance. It is finished. We are to work from a position of rest. You are not to do your business as you go to your business from a position of, oh, how will my business turn out? How will it turn out? Oh, when are they going to pay me? Are they going to? You know, you are not to do that because it is finished. I'm trying to find an illustration that will help you with this, because I like to use illustrations. You know the Queen's children. You know they work, but they work from a position of rest. Rest. They're not trying to, you know, none of them says, oh, you know, like Wilfred is a businessman. He has to think of all his clients. He has to think of how jobs will come. They don't do that. You just wake up, say, what's our program? In fact, they set their program for the whole year. They have a calendar and they go ahead and do it. They don't think of money. They just know it will come. It will come because it was already, it's settled. So if you can somehow think in your mind, you see, you're thinking the money is going to come from your clients, the people who employed you, who gave you the job. You know, the job is going to come from this person. It's going to come from this quarter. So you have unrest. You go to bed, there's trouble in the home, the family, the children. Maybe the children talk this, don't, I'm so busy, don't you know? You know, because you are not at rest. But when you know it's already done. So they go out every morning, they say, oh, you have to go for this, you know, you have to go for this charity event, you have to go for that charity event. All they busy themselves about is how they will participate. Participation is all they busy themselves about. So if you take your work as you are going to participate, you're not going to work out how things will work because it is finished. So for people who come to church on Sunday, it is a day for you to remember. So that when I go out tomorrow, I'm not going to go into hustle and bustle like everybody else, because it is what? Finished. You can't add to it. What you would do on Monday can't add to it. You want to go and participate. He says, because his work which he had made, he has finished it. That's why, you see, what Adam and Eve lost. I keep going back to Genesis because this is important. The devil came to convince them that it was not finished. That's all he did. God said it, you know, and that's what people do. You know, we always, you see, when you are in unrest, things go out of order, in a position of rest. In fact, I am convinced in my spirit that a lot of the issues we face, wherever, whether family, work, home, everything, is this very reason. You see, people are tempted because they don't know it is finished. People fight and contend with one another. I was saying on Sunday, it's because you are not at rest, and that's because you don't know that it is finished. You see, someone say, oh, this person, you know, if it wasn't for this person, if it wasn't for that person, you think that person can undo what God has done. So you will your power, your rest to the person. You're saying that person is the one. If not for him, if not for her, you are not at rest because you believe that person has undone what God has done. But when you are at rest, nobody, nothing, the Bible says, what shall separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus? The love of God is settled. So you are to rest in God's love. Just rest. And what are the things that he says, what shall separate us? What are the least? So if you, what else? Famine. Sword. Death. They can't separate. You see, even when somebody dies and leaves this earth, where are they going? They're going to be with the Lord. So he's still not going to be able to separate you because it is finished. It's already settled. So I'm to live on earth with the understanding that it is finished, that I am not adding anything, because God did not rest because he was tired. He rested because his work was finished. So the whole concept of Sabbath and rest is so that you will know within you that it's finished. And you will not let anything bother you anymore. You know, I really want us to journey in this rest. Let us take our journey in this rest. Let us be at rest. You will notice one thing. You will be healthier. You will be happier. And let me tell you, there will be so much peace. In fact, when people see you, when you journey in this rest, they will say, you are a godly person. When they look at you, even people who are not Christians, when they look at your peace, how calm and at peace and at rest you are, they will come to you and say, you are a godly person. Because that kind of peace, you can't find it in this world. Amen. That's what happened with Jesus. Notice Jesus. He came to portray God. There was nothing that moved him because he was at rest. When he was at the cross, what did he say? It is. That is, Adam lost it, but now I am giving it back. It is finished. That is, it is complete. You can't add to it. You can't take away from it. It is finished. You know, think of the things that bother you. You just begin to think of the things that bother you. Anything. When you're at home, you know, sit down. Maybe you want to write them down. Write the things that bother you. And they say, I am at rest. Because it is. It is finished. And it's to participate in God's word. And how you participate is to be putting that word in your mind and in your heart. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. I'll show you something. Mark chapter 2. Look at Mark 2 from verse 23. See something here. Said, now it happened that he went through the grain fields on the Sabbath. Say, on the Sabbath. So these people knew about the Sabbath, or the Sabbath day. They knew about it, but they did not understand it. So Jesus was going through it, and as they went, his disciples began to do what? Pluck the heads of grain. And if you read, you know, according to the law, you don't do any work, including pluck the heads of grain. So all these thousands of years, they never understood what the Sabbath meant. The Sabbath was not just a day for you not to work. The Sabbath was to remind you. It's a remembrance day. The day itself, that's why God had to sanctify that day. The day itself makes no difference to any other day. So let's say we were in a country where we had to work on Sunday. So then we will make maybe Friday the day to come to church, isn't it? Does that nullify the scripture? Why? Because the day is just a day of remembrance. It's to remind you that you can't add anything and you can't take out anything. So those who don't observe the day, they will eventually forget the rest of God. So say, for instance, like you are to be in the house of God. You're all here today. Don't just come here and say, okay, I'm just observing, coming to church, want to hear the word of God, but to remind yourself that I need God. I need what God has done for me. By not coming, you are saying, I'm going to do everything by myself. When you don't come, you can't remember the day, because if you don't remember, then you can't remember rest. But for those who come, it's important that you know I'm coming so that I will acknowledge that it is finished. So every word that I hear, I'm going to participate in God's word, knowing that it is not the drudgery of Monday to Friday that makes my life. It is not all my labor, my toil that will make my children turn well. It is what God has done. Before your children, you know, it says, before you were born, I knew you. So you're thinking, oh, from the day when my child is 1 year old, I will do this. I will, you know, let some people read books. Thank God for books. Go and read all those books. That's good. There's nothing wrong with it. You know, as long as you're not reading it as if, God, you stay aside. Let me use this knowledge this person has written to make sure my children turn well. No, God already ensured that your children will turn out well. See, you and the children that I've given to you, they're for what? Signs and wonders. Well, you won't find it in that book. So what you are doing on a daily basis, you're doing the natural things to participate, not to make it happen. Because by making it happen, you are trying to add to it. You can't. It is complete. It is finished. Same thing with the work of salvation. And down the line to everything. There's nothing. You know, sometimes, I really marvel sometimes the way we, you know, people say, but Elijah did this, Elijah. You know, Elijah is not my example. So Elijah cursed some people. I don't curse people because Elijah did. Elijah did not finish the work for me. Are you listening to me? Elijah was a great man of God. But he is not Christ. After him, Jesus still had to come to finish it. So what Elijah did, something can be added to it and something can be taken out of it. What Moses did, you can add to it, you can take out of it. Every person who lived before Christ, whatever they did, you can add to it, you can take out of it. But when Christ came, everything he did, you can't. It's finished. What you do is rest. Your rest is a participation in the finished work of Christ. Woo! Hallelujah. Oh, this is powerful. You know, if you enter in, that's why I was talking about those who have entered. If you enter, he said, look at what he says. As they went, his disciples began to pluck the heads of grain. Next verse. And the Pharisees said to him, look, why do they do what is not lawful on the Sabbath? You see, the thing about the Pharisees is that they were always in a position of unrest. See, because if you are always judging people, there's something wrong with your soul. If all you do is just pick on people, there's something wrong with your soul. It's not at rest. And this is what the Pharisees kept doing to Jesus. They felt they knew more about Sabbath than Jesus. So look at what Jesus said, verse 25. But he said to them, have you, I love Jesus. Have you never read? He didn't just go straight to tell them what the Sabbath was. Have you never, and he knows they know this because the Pharisees, they know the scriptures inside out. So you see, have you never read what David did when he was in need and hungry? He and those with him. You need to go and read that. Verse 26. How he went into the house of God. Everyone say house of God. In the days of Abiathar the high priest and ate the showbread. The showbread is a holy bread. You don't touch it. In fact, if you touch it, you die. Which is not lawful. Everyone say not lawful. It's not lawful to eat except for the priest. And also, he ate it and he gave some to those who were with him. So what he was saying is this. You see, they were looking at the bread and seeing this bread, there's something about this bread. It's only for priests. But David had a relationship with God. He knows it's my father's bread. Those who don't have a relationship with the Father will be scared and afraid of the bread. But those who have a relationship with their Father, they eat it. Not only did he eat it, that is, this bread belongs to us. But all these years before David, they didn't know it. This is what Jesus is using. They asked the question about what? The Sabbath. Why could David eat it at rest? He had rest. You know, some people say, oh, somebody cursed me. This curses. No curse can work on you if you are at rest. That no curses will ever work on your life. If you are at rest. See, people who are not at rest, it's not the curse that will kill them. It's the unrest about the curse. The unrest. Say, oh, I've eaten the showbread. Ah, I'm going to die. And then they fall and die. And some people will look at it and say, hey, don't ever touch it again because I know so-and-so who touched it. No, no curse can work on your life. But you've got to be at rest concerning the blessings of God. You know, those of you who come from places, you know, here on TV, this one says, oh, you know, your village and your this, you know, all that tosh. You know, they are creating more unrest. The very thing you need the most is what they are taking away. They're giving you unrest. Jesus says, I will give you rest. And so you will have rest for your soul. So look at that. It says, verse 27, look at that. This is powerful. And he said to them, the Sabbath was made for man. What is Sabbath? Rest. Rest was made for man. So rest is not something that you are trying to have. So I need to just try and get this rest. No, no, no. It was made for you to take. It's yours. Verse 28. Do you have 28? Or I didn't give you that. Therefore, the Son of Man is also Lord of the Sabbath. I own the Sabbath. I own rest. And I've given it to you. So the Sabbath was made for man. I've given you rest. You have rest. If you're a child of God, you have Christ as your Lord. He has given you rest. When you come into God's house, it is to remind you that he has done it all. Amen. That's why David could write Psalm 23. Go to Psalm 23. Let's look at what he wrote. Psalm 23. It says, the Lord is what? My shepherd, I shall not. You don't read this like you've memorized it. I know most of you know it by heart, but I want you to read it again in your heart. Meditate on it. It says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. That is nothing. Look, I wish you would not just read it, but you will make it your own and say it. You know what I'm saying? Not read it as if David wrote it. Read it as if you meditated on it. And then the next time you are worried about anything, say, oh, the Lord is my... Because it is that position of want that makes you stay in unrest. It's like, I want. That's why I told you, people who are at rest, it's like they don't need anything. Because rest is a fulfillment of their need. Rest is the fulfillment of every need. Rest. You know that you will live long. How many know that? So when you are talking, you must never have any idea about not living long. The moment you think you will not live long, you are not at rest. Because rest is that it is finished. So when you are not resting in the word of God, you are saying, God, I need to. That painting you've done is not perfect. It's not yet finished. But your peace, your long life, that God's word says, it's already perfected. You can't make, see, he says you can't add to the word of God and you can't take away. You know what it means? The moment you're not believing it, you are taken out of it. People think to add to is maybe I cut out one part of scripture. No, every day we're all using parts of scripture. You're not reading the whole scripture every day, but by taking it out is by not believing it. That is, you are making it not have the power that it should have in your life. And that's unrest. It is what? Unrest. It's finished. Amen. Okay, so look at that. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. What happens? He makes me to lie down in green pastures. Okay, who knows where green pastures are? He knows it. You don't know it. Now, I always think about, you know, sometimes when he says he makes me to lie down in green pastures, what you're looking for, green pastures. But you're saying he makes me, but you are the one actually trying to make yourself. You're looking for the best company, the best place to live in. You are the one looking for it. You are constantly searching for places and searching for things. Have you heard the saying, the grass is not, but the grass is green where it is watered? What it's saying is that it is not location or the place. Not that location doesn't matter. It matters, but I'm not having unrest because of my location. If I want to change location, I just change it. But if you are... That's it. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me. He keeps doing it. Why is he doing it? Because he's the one who finished the work. He's the one who knows the place. He knows the green pastures. I don't know it. He knows still waters. I don't know it. Verse 3. He restores my what? My soul is at rest. He says, he leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Let's go on. Verse 4, quickly. He says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. And I said it before, the valley of the shadow of death. Can you imagine? That is, nothing will affect my rest. Nothing. He says, 1,000 shall fall at my side, 10,000. You know, sometimes it's the things that you're seeing that disturb the rest. You see 1,000, you say, ooh, look at what is happening there. You see 10. No, some of you don't even see 1,000. You see 3. When you see 3 on your left, and you see 4 on your right hand, you say, ah! You begin to measure things based on what you see, not based on what God has done. What he has done to keep your rest. When you keep your rest, let me tell you, everything, it says your soul prospers. Hallelujah. It says your rod and your staff, they comfort me. I fear no evil. Like I said, when you go back and you read the psalm, don't read it because David wrote it. Read it because you are saying it based on what you know. I will fear. Get to that point. No evil. I will fear no evil. There's no evil that can come against me. None. It can't work. There is no machination of the enemy. No weapon. Nothing. Because God has already finished it. I am at rest. And you know, I say to people that all our children here, you know, I'm at rest. My participation is to be at rest. Concerning all our children, all our young, they're going to be stars. They're going to be great and wonderful people. There will be signs and wonders in this generation, in this generation, in this generation. Let me tell you, don't let what you see or what you hear and all of that participate by raising and training the children. But what you are doing is participation. You are not making them turn well. Woo, I wish you would catch this. You know, my dad, I've shared many stories about my dad. I can't remember a day that I was not beaten. I can't remember a day that I didn't get shouted at. You know, he was, you know why he was doing it? He was a Christian. He never missed church. My father was in church. You know, some of you say, oh, because they didn't come to church, that's why he's behaving like that. No! He was in church all the time. And, you know, in those days, the church, they never taught your appearance. In fact, what they taught them is, make sure you beat that child very well. My father, who is already beating me every day, now you are preaching that he should beat his children. But you know why he was a Christian? He wanted me to turn out well. See, when you go back, you think, oh, that your father must have been an evil man. No, as far as he's concerned, he is the one that will make me turn out well. So every day, you know what he's looking at? He's looking at all my mistakes, all my errors. Because it is through correcting my mistakes that I will turn out well. So he saw plenty of mistakes. Even the things that were not mistakes, they became mistakes. And I used to remember then, I'm going home. All the people are coming home. You know, I said to my wife, one of the things I will never do it to your children, when they are going out of your home, let them go out with joy. Don't use early morning to say, why didn't you sweep the floor? What did? No. Because every time it was God that made me not to run away from home. Because constantly in the morning, and I would go to school. But because I love school, and the Spirit of God touching my heart, I will return home. So never, you don't rebuke. If you want to rebuke, you know, many times, you know, you do all the shouting. When I get in the car, I will communicate gently with the child so that they go to school with joy. Then they finish from school, say, your teacher told me. See, what you're doing, you're not evil, but you think it is that thing that I'm doing that will make the child turn well. You are not at rest. It is finished because the work is complete. Put your hands together for the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen.